Fathers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glyn Jones. Episode 9, With Use of Bath, featuring this week's special guests, Derek Giler and Nicholas Phipps.
Mr. Butler, how much longer are you going to be in that bathroom?
None of your business.
Look, I've been there an hour and a half.
And I'll be another hour and a half if I want.
Oh, no, you won't.
You have the bath in the morning.
In the morning? I'm not going to stay dirty all night. Look, I'm the landlord. This is my house, Mr. Butler, and I want to have a bath. Ah, so you're coming out, are you? It's about time.
Mr. Wilson, I'll be obliged if you would kindly wait till I've vacated.
I am the landlord.
And I am the tenant, and my lease gives me use.
Ah,
of bathroom.
Not this kind of use.
Oh, yes, it does.
We'll see about that, chappy.
You're not coming in.
I'm not letting you lock that door again.
Stop shoving.
Well, let me in there.
No, I'm not.
Let me in.
Blimey.
Oh, and there, Henry, before my client's startled gaze, was Mrs. Butler, stark naked on the weighing machine.
Who'd ever think such goings-on go on in Tulse Hill? Well, I knew it was only a matter of time before the older generation formed their own permissive society.
Look, it's not that kind of case at all. Mr. Butler is now bringing an action against my client for trespass plus damages for the shock it gave his wife.
Well, that ought to teach your bloke not to barge into other people's bathrooms.
It isn't other people's bathrooms. That's the point. It's his bathroom. He's the landlord. Yet every time he goes to use it, the butlers are in there.
Weighing themselves.
Yes. Well, Mrs. Butler weighs herself while Mr. Butler has baths.
Well, they sound a very devoted couple.
Frankly, I can't see they've got a hope of getting anything more than nominal damages. I mean, honestly, Henry, what harm can this have really done Mrs. Butler?
Well, if she looks anything like the woman downstairs from me, it's your client who should claim for shock.
Roger, I think there must be more to it than what you've told me.
Well, I can't think what. As regards the trespass, well, my client says the number of baths the butler's indulged in, his only hope of getting a bath was to barge in.
Do the butlers dispute that?
Mr. Butler says he's entitled to use the bathroom as often as he wants to. He says that's in his lease.
Ah, that's what this case is about. This is your first brush with the landlord-tenant relationship, isn't it, brother? You just don't know. There's no obsession so utter as the hatred of a tenant for his landlord. Unless it's the hatred of landlord for his tenant.
This landlord and tenant are living in the same house. No, Henry. What we've got here is something quite different. My case is an example of the contribution the courts of justice can make towards solving problems of contemporary living.
How's that again?
Look, we have here two sets of people who are deadlocked. Stalemate. So what do? They come before the trained legal minds of barristers and judges and they say, tell us, which of us is right?
They say what?
They say, tell us. Out of your wisdom and your experience, make a decision for us, so that thereafter we may live in harmony, as neighbors should live.
Stoma crows. Honestly, Roger, sometimes you are so unaware, it's almost virginal.
Well, now what have I done?
Well, your patient's strong outlook on life. Oh, mate, we'll have to do something about you. I can't think what sort of surgery, but oh, mate.
I've got most of the books you asked me for. I think Mr. Grimes has got Woodfall.
Oh, thanks, Alec. I'd better take Redman as well.
Ah, Mr. Blagrove's got that.
Oh, yes, sorry, old man. I meant to bring it along, but, I do use it rather a lot.
Redman?
Yes, it's just the right thickness for putting my foot on when I clean my shoes. Still, if it'll help bring harmony to Tulse Hill...
Look, it's too late to get it now, isn't it? I'll be off to court in a few minutes.
Ah, first we here's Woodfall for you.
Oh, thank you, Grimes.
Gracious me. What do you need that pile of books for? Taking the case to the House of Lords?
It's a county court summons, Grimes. Landlord and tenant on use of bath.
Oh, yeah, you haven't had one of those, have you? That'll be good experience for you. Tell them the tale, my dear fellow. Tell them the tale. It won't do any good. It's all grist to the mill.
Well, I don't know about it won't do any good. I think I'll be able to prove my chap's in the right.
Oh, I don't doubt it, my dear fellow. Trouble is, so can the other chap.
What do you mean?
This is landlord and tenant, dear fellow.
But why does everybody keep saying landlord and tenant as though they're a different species?
Oh, they are. Yeah, just what they are. That's the point about these domestic disputes. Neither side's completely right and neither's completely wrong. They're both half and half.
Are you saying that I just shouldn't bother with these books, that all the laws and precedents laid down to guide people in circumstances like this just don't apply?
No, not a bit of it. They're very wise. You look them up, learn them, quote them, chuck them around in court as much as you can. It's very good for you and impresses the solicitors no end.
It's my client I want to help, not myself.
Well, of course you do, my dear fellow. Now, look, you sort out his bath for him, get it off his mind, then he can start working up a good squabble on something else. Washing on the line on Sunday, smells from the dustbin and so on.
Look, why should it make him like that?
Landlord and tenant, my dear fellow.
Oh, for heaven's sake. It's a fact of life. I'm sorry. I just cannot see why, just because people share the same accommodation, they should automatically become all warped and bitter and mistrustful.
Well, neither do I, really. But it happens. Look at husbands and wives. But don't be discouraged, my dear fellow. You do your best. You can't do more, can you? That's right. You keep at it and tell them a tale, boy.
Hey, what's the use of people saying don't be discouraged after they've just done their best to discourage you?
But you're not discouraged, are you? All that good sound common sense just bounced right off you.
I still believe a good decision in this case will help these people live more happily together. Come in.
Hello, Roger.
Sally.
Ready?
What, yes.
Well, I often wondered what your headquarters looked like. This is where it's all plotted and planned, is it?
Yes, well...
Is this the chair where the accused sits? Yes, I killed him, and I'm glad you're here. Glad, glad. He didn't deserve to live.
Thank you, dear. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Sally, it's very nice if you drop in, but I've got to be at court in an hour.
Yes, I know. I'm going to drive you there.
Really?
Yes, this is one case I definitely don't want to miss. Can't wait to see you in action against her.
Do you know Mrs. Butler?
Who's Mrs. Butler?
The bride in the bath. She's a star witness.
Oh, I don't know anything about the case. I phoned Alec to remind you it's my birthday on Thursday, and he told me today's a new experience for you. First time you've been up against this sort of opposing counsel.
What? Well, it's someone called Kent. What's so special about him?
What's so special about him is he's a her.
What? Oh, it gets better and better. I must try and get along to this.
Yes, well, I shall certainly be there.
A lady barrister? Well, I don't see what difference that makes. I honestly don't. There are lots of lazy barristers in the courts today.
Yes, well, I've seen photographs of this one. She's rather attractive.
Very attractive.
Oh, really? Look, I've got a case to present. Whether my opponent is an attractive woman or a bald old man, it won't influence me.
It won't.
But I'll get it.
Oh, I must get along to this.
Why is everybody making such a production out of this case?
Because that's exactly what it is, old man. Roger Thursby in the case of the naked lady.
Not a stitch did I have on, Your Honor. Well, I mean to be birthed in upon like that. I mean, not a stitch. Standing there without even a towel. Respectable married woman standing there, mother naked. Well, you can imagine.
Yes, quite, yes. Now, Mrs. Butler, you're not suggesting, are you, that Mr. Wilson knew you were in there?
Of course he knew I was in there. He saw me, didn't he? Looked right at me. I was standing out like chapel at pegs.
Yes, but not when the door was shut.
Oh, not when it was shut, but when it was open, he did.
You mean he didn't know you were in there?
He did know I was in there. Like I just said, he saw me.
Yes, but he didn't know he was going to see you, did he?
Well, how should I know? I've no idea what goes on in Mr. Wilson's mind, I'm glad to say.
But look, had you any reason for supposing that before Mr. Wilson opened the door, he knew in advance that when he did, he would see you?
Mr. Thursby, is this line of questioning leading us anywhere?
But I was trying to make a point, Your Honor, with respect.
Well, respect is one thing and clarity is another. What point were you trying to make, Mr. Thursby?
Well, that Mr. Wilson only saw Mrs. Butler by accident.
I see. Mrs. Butler, had Mr. Wilson any reason for knowing you were in the bathroom?
No, sir.
Thank you. Now perhaps we can get on.
Your Honor, Mrs.
Butler,
I should like...
Is it,
so sorry.
No, really, after you, Miss Kent.
Well, I thought you'd finished.
No, well, I hadn't quite, but honestly, it doesn't matter.
Please, continue.
No, honestly.
Am I to gather from this elegant exchange of courtesies that counsel for the plaintiff wishes to say something?
Yes, Your Honor. May I, Mr. Thursby?
Please do, Miss Kent, please do.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to point out, Your Honor, that if you burst into a bathroom, you're very likely to find someone in a state of undress.
So, although Mr. Wilson probably didn't know that Mrs. Butler was there, he didn't know for certain that she wasn't. Therefore,
Miss Kent, I hardly think the degree of certainty in Mr. Wilson's mind is of much importance.
As your honor pleases. But may I say, with all respect, that had it been your honor's wife or daughter on the bathroom scale...
Miss Kent, if you're going to be impertinent, I'd prefer you not to put up a facade of respect.
I'm sorry if your honor thinks I'm being impertinent. I don't intend to be. I was just calling attention to the fact that the kind of incident can be very distressing for a husband and wife.
Yes, I dare say, but I'm quite satisfied that the location of Mrs. Butler at the time was purely accidental. Please sit down.
But, Your Honor, I...
Sit down, Miss Kent. Sit down.
Well, really?
Speak up, Mr. Phil.
Well, I... After all, I mean, she is a...
Yes, Mr. Thursday?
I'll continue, Your Honor. Now, Mrs. Butler, the incident hasn't done you any harm, has it?
Hasn't done me any good?
I mean, no. I mean, it hasn't left any ill effects on your health. I mean, sleepless nights or nightmares or twitching.
Nervous. I'm very nervous. It's left me very nervous.
Well, even when the door is locked?
Oh, not just in the bathroom. Everywhere. I keep crying. And I drop things.
What sort of things do you drop?
Things I'm carrying.
What sort of things?
Plates and things. I drop them. It's my nerves. It's left me nervous.
Well, there's no medical evidence before me on this subject.
With respect, Your Honor, I can't call all my witnesses at the same time.
Then you have a doctor.
Dr. Morris, the son. He took over.
I've shown a medical certificate to my learned friend, and he accepts it.
Well, let me see it. Thank you. I have examined Mrs. Butler. She tells me she is suffering from nerves. I prescribed a sedative. You don't object to this, Mr. Thursday?
Your Honor thinks I should.
Well, really, Mr. Thursday, it's not for me to advise you how to conduct your case. Though it might save us a lot of time if I did.
I'm much obliged to Your Honor.
Well, I'd be much obliged if we could get on a little faster. Do you accept this medical certificate?
Yes, I don't wish to question the medical certificate.
No further questions. Good.
No.
Thank you, Mr. Butler. Mrs. Butler, you may stand down.
No, I didn't actually say it.
Go back into the box, please, Mrs. Butler. I have a question to ask.
Oh, really?
Yes, I agree with the witness. I don't see how much further this can be pursued.
How much did you weigh before this incident, Mrs. Butler?
8 stone 12.
And how much now?
8 stone 1.5. I've lost 10.5 pounds.
Thank you, Mrs. Butler. You may stand down.
I'm sorry, Miss Kent. Terribly sorry, but there's a question I'd like to ask.
Well, of course, Mr. Thursby.
That's very kind of you.
Oh, not at all.
Thanks awfully.
May we proceed?
If Your Honor pleases. Now, Mrs. Butler, you like to weigh yourself frequently?
I do. That's why I want undisturbed use of the bathroom.
Now, why do you like to weigh yourself so often?
To find out what I weigh.
Yes, of course. But do you mean you're concerned about your weight?
Well, I like to watch it. I mean, every woman does. So easy to put on weight unless you watch it.
Of course. Now, how do you avoid putting on weight?
Well, I watch it.
What do you watch?
I watch what I eat.
So you're on a slimming diet?
No, I'm not. I don't help with slimming diets.
Then what do you mean you watch what you eat?
Well, I'm just sensible. I avoid starches and fatty foods, and I eat those biscuit things.
Does it work?
Well, I've managed to lose...
You've managed to lose 10.5 pounds. Thank you, Mrs. Butler.
I'd like to call Mr. Butler.
Yes, I'm sure you would, Miss Kent, but it's lunchtime, and I don't have to watch my weight. We'll adjourn until 2:10.
Well, there you are, Mr. Thursby. I'm afraid when some of these judges see a woman counsel, they're rather inclined to try and show who's boss.
But I thought you stood up to him terribly well.
Oh, it's only because you are so sympathetic.
Oh.
It's not easy being a woman in a man's world.
I'm sure it's not, but if I can help in any way, Miss Kent, I...
Oh, Diana, please. After all, we may be working together on this case for weeks.
Yes, indeed, yes. It is going on a bit, isn't it, Diana?
Yes, it is. So if that judge starts throwing his weight about...
We'll just stick together, eh?
Rely on me.
Am I interrupting anything highly legal?
Oh, no. Diana, this is a friend of mine, Sally Mannering, Diana Kent.
How do you do? I was just telling Roger, he and I have got to stick together.
Oh, really?
We're both in a tricky position. Me, because I'm a woman, and Roger, because he's inexperienced. That makes him rather vulnerable.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
Well, I'd better get some lunch.
I'll see you later, Roger.
Goodbye, Miss Mannering.
She's nice, isn't she? And very able.
Yes, she's able, all right. What about all this Roger Diana stuff?
I know. It gives you a nice friendly feeling, doesn't it?
Not me, it doesn't. I'm surprised you two don't just settle the whole thing out of court between you over a cozy little dinner.
Well, I couldn't ask her out to dinner. I scarcely know her.
Well, you know me, and I'm starving.
Are you?
Yes.
Well, we can get a sandwich in the pub. I tell you, I think I did quite well with Mrs. Butler, don't you?
Oh, yes, you seem to be winning with all the women. Got any more lined up?
Well, it's Mr. Butler this afternoon. Now, if I can prove he's been deliberately hogging the bathroom, that'll not only dispose of the trespass, it'll bring the whole mess out into the open. Get the judge to sort that out, and I'll really have achieved something. I mean, in terms of people's lives and happiness. Don't you agree?
I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't give you the Nobel Prize.
Oh, come on, Roger, buy me that sandwich, or this afternoon Judge Travers will be complaining about somebody rumbling in court.
But...
Continue, Mr. Butler.
Well, all I'm saying is, Your Honor, I stand by my rights. I mean, I'm allowed reasonable use of bathroom, and I was reasonably using it. See? I mean, does someone come busting in when my good lady was on cloud? Well, I mean, it's an imposition, you see. I mean, it's liberty taking.
Mr. Butler, you used the phrase reasonable use of bathroom. How long were you in there?
Oh, don't wear me watching the bath.
But you must have some idea how long.
No idea at all. Can't judge in the bathroom. The warmth and the steam makes time all different.
Now, my client will testify that you've been in there for an hour and a half.
Might have been. Yeah, might well have been.
Now, Mr. Butler, don't you think 90 minutes is an unreasonable time to stay in the bath?
No, I don't. I happen to be a slow washer. Good. Very slow, very thorough, you know. And I like my bath. Plenty of hot water. Soap all over, you know. I luxuriate.
Now, what was your wife doing all this time?
Weighing herself.
Weighing herself for an hour and a half? You can't weigh yourself for an hour and a half.
Well, and she was doing something else as well, I suppose. Well, I didn't notice, and I was aware of her presence, of course. You know, I mean, we chatted on and off, you know, off and on, yes. But I was occupied with soaping myself, you see.
Your Honor, I hardly think what Mrs. Butler was doing while Mr. Butler was luxuriating is relevant.
Is it, Mr. Thursby?
Oh, yes. You see, it's to do with the trespass, you see, Miss Kent.
Well, I'm only trying to speed things up, Mr. Thursby. I'm not trying to be awkward.
Oh, no. I didn't do it for 1 minute. No, I didn't do it for a minute.
I don't want to play gooseberry, Mr. Thursby. But I'm still waiting to hear what is relevant about Mrs. Butler's doings.
Mrs. Butler's doings? Oh. Yes, Your Honor, the plaintiff's case for trespass relies on the claim that his reasonable use of bathroom was broken into. I am trying to establish that his use of the bathroom was unreasonable, so that the invasion of his privacy was not, in law, a trespass.
Well, get on with it, then.
Mr. Butler, I put it to you that you deliberately dawdled in the bathroom.
Well, if by my deliberately dawdling you mean I didn't just hop in and out, I don't deny it. By mother hop in and out bathy, you see. I mean, I am by nature a dawdling bather. See, I mean, to me, a bath is a dawdle.
Even when the other occupants of the house are waiting to use it?
Why, it's the landlords. Landlords know how to look after themselves. I don't waste pity on them.
Your clients seem remarkably uncooperative, Miss Kent.
Your Honor seems to forget how this case arose. My client is claiming damages from Mr. Wilson.
I'm perfectly well aware how the case arose, Miss Kent. Have you any further questions, Mr. Thursby?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I can't seem to get the witness to acknowledge any kind of moral responsibility in this matter.
Oh, you mustn't be so easily discouraged, Mr. Thursby. Follow Miss Kent's example. She's never discouraged.
I'm trying to, Your Honor.
Keep at it, Roger. I think we're wearing him down.
Do you think so, Diana?
When you've quite finished taking instructions from your opponent, Mr. Bailey, perhaps we could proceed.
That is the case for the plaintiff, Your Honor.
Mr. Wilson, please.
That is not so. I mean, some of these tenants just don't appreciate what the words reasonable use of mean. I mean, give them an inch and they take an hour and a half. It's like with the lights on the landing. He doesn't have to pay the bill.
Then you deny that every time Mr. Butler takes a bath, you make a point of banging on his door.
Well, I have to have a bath, too.
But is it true that you only wish to use the bathroom when Mr. Butler is in there?
But he's always in there when I want to use it.
I suggest, Mr. Wilson, that frequently you bang on the door with the sole intention of annoying Mr. Butler.
No, I never. Besides, he only goes in there when he knows I want to use it.
Mr. Wilson, how does Mr. Butler know when you want to use the bathroom? Do you make some sort of public announcement for him?
I don't need to. It's as though he has second sense. I've often heard him running down the corridor while I'm still searching for my flannel.
Mr. Wilson, your bedroom is directly opposite the bathroom, isn't it? So you can hear if there's anyone taking a bath.
I wouldn't mind if it was only now and then, but he has one every day. Sometimes two or three.
But Mr. Butler has a perfect right to have two or more baths a day if he wants to. Lots of people do.
Your Honor, now with respect, I'm sorry, Miss Kenner, very sorry, but I must look. Three baths a day is surely a bit excessive. That's 21 a week.
Yes, it does seem a little over fastidious.
I humbly submit, Your Honor, that it's not at all. I frequently have two baths a day myself.
But doesn't that remove all the oils from the skin?
No.
Really?
Well, it depends what soap you use. I mean... You see, some soaps have something in them that restores the oil. I think it's lanolin or something like that.
Miss Kent, please don't let us get involved in these unsolicited bath soap testimonials. It's not going to help us very much.
But, Your Honor, surely what this case hinges on is bathroom usage.
I have no intention of letting this turn into a debate on personal hygiene.
Your Honor had already agreed that three baths a day is a bit excessive. I feel the court should give a ruling. What is a reasonable number of baths for a person to take?
Well, where the bathroom is shared with other people, I would say that three or four baths a week was reasonable for the purpose of getting clean. However, I do appreciate there are people who like or need to take baths in excess of that number. For pleasure, perhaps, or religious reasons. Or in Japan, I understand, for company.
But for cleanliness, three or four times a week. Thank you, Your Honor.
Now, can we please get on, Miss Kent?
Mr. Wilson, I should like to know, do you leave your bedroom door open so that you can hear when Mr. Butler goes into the bathroom?
I don't need to. Take his portable radio in there with him. Hear it all over the house, you do. No consideration at all.
Portable radio?
Settles down with it in the evening, he does, and that's all you can hear. One after the other. The Archers. Today in Parliament. And ever so often my hot water being drawn off.
God! Is it reasonable to listen to the Archers in a bathroom? Surely bathrooms are for bathing in.
But you could have a bath and listen to the Archers at the same time.
Oh, dear. Now, I suppose Mr. Thursday will want the court to give a ruling on the reasonable uses of a bathroom.
Your Honor, I submit that a bathroom...
No, Mr. Thursday, no. This is a court of law, not a public washhouse. There's been quite enough washing of dirty linen lately already. In my view, both parties want their heads knocking together. I'm appalled that people living in the same house should go to such absurd lengths to make life difficult for one another. It's quite obvious that any judgment I give on the claim for damages will merely serve to aggravate this deplorable state of affairs. I want to see both counsel privately. The usher will bring you to my room in a few moments. That's right. Come in, both of you. How do you do, Thursday? I don't think we've actually met before.
How do you do, Your Honor? I mean, Judge.
How are you, Diana? You look as enchanting as ever.
Thank you. Does that mean I was worse than usual in court?
Oh, not at all. How was I?
Oh, sweet. Then you always are.
you two know each other?
Oh, Diana and I are old friends, Thursday. And I think I ought to warn you about her technique of playing the poor defenseless female.
Hey?
Before you know where you are, you'll have conceded the case and offered to pay all the costs.
Oh, I wouldn't let him pay all the costs. He's much too attractive.
Oh, but thank you.
Well, now,
What are we going to do about all this? Please take off your wigs if you want to. I don't expect you will, Diana. Yes. You'll never get it back on again, will you? Well, now.
I don't think we'll be able to do anything, Judge. You've seen the Wilsons and the Butlers. There's such a tremendous amount of ill feeling.
Yes. Very well, then I'll have to get tough. I'll impose a rigid schedule laying out who's to have the bathroom when. A timetable.
Yes! I'm sorry. But look, I do feel strongly that this is exactly what they need, Judge. Mediation. When people are as confused and embittered as they are, we must show them. They want to be shown. They want to.
How old are you, Thursday?
23 next February.
A splendid age. Well, I'll impose a more or less hour-by-hour timetable of availability for that bathroom. And I'll tell the four of them, if they don't stick to it, I'll have them transported at the very least.
Thank you, Judge.
Well, I'll be with you as soon as I finish that cigarette.
He's terribly nice.
Oh, he's sweet.
But you said he was...
I'm sorry, Roger. There's more to courtroom tactics than knowing what presidents to quote. Never mind, Roger. You did very well. Whose chambers are you in?
Kenneth Grimes. Yours?
Kenneth Trumper's.
What? Kenneth? Not the Kenneth Trumper? That must be marvelous, Diana. Have you ever been led by him?
Well, only in court.
I beg your pardon?
He's my husband.
With a little forbearance on both sides, this case need never have come to court. I'm bound to find the plaintiff's claim for damages proved, but I'm only going to award the nominal sum of 1 shilling. Both parties will pay their own costs. Now, as I don't wish to see either of the parties in this court again, I have drawn up a suggested timetable for the future use of the communal bathroom. It goes like this. Starting with the mornings, on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays and Sundays, 7 a.m. till 8 a.m., Mr. and Mrs. Butler. 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., the Wilsons. 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Butlers. And so on. Now, for night time, I suggest the following.
Well, I drink your health, Roger, but I don't really see the cause for celebration. You did lose the case.
You call having to pay a shilling damages a defeat?
Well, I bet dear Diana chalks it up as a victory. And I bet it's not the only victory she chalks up for her day's work.
Me? You honestly think I fell for... Look, Sally, that was what we call courtroom tactics.
Well,
if you still think you've had a victory, I'll have a scotch next.
It was a victory. A victory for law and reason. Those four people have now been given a code to live by. It's what they were subconsciously craving all the time.
Make that a double.
You still don't see. What can I say to make you see? Look, here's the judge's list. Now, what's the time?
7:05.
7:05, right. And today is Tuesday, right? Now, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday. Ah, the Wilsons. At this very moment, my client, for the first time since he's been at the house, can have a bath without any bitterness or ill feeling at all.
How much longer are you going to be in there, Mr. Wilson?
I don't know, and I'm not out of here.
But that's your fifth bath today.
I was in it, right?
Look, I've been out of work all day. I'm all mucky. Here, come on, let me in there.
I've just delivered some more hot water.
Let me in.
And I've got another 55 minutes yet.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Bryars. Henry Blagrove, Richard Waring. Grimes, John Vin Jones. Sally, Ann Davis. Butler, Derek Giler. The Judge, Nicholas Phipps. Diana Kent, Joe Kendall. Mrs. Butler, Patsy Rowland. Wilson, Robert Dorning. Eric, Malcolm Hayes. With Use of Bath was written by Miles Rudge and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.